Hey, everybody. One of the most important episodes we've done in quite a while. The response has already been overwhelming. A mom who was a liberal read the New York Times. And then all of a sudden, her daughter said she was a boy. A riveting conversation about the trans social contagion. Every American should listen to this episode. You should text it to your friends. You should take notes. You should listen carefully. Erin Friday joins us about a ballot initiative that she has going in California. Listen carefully. Take notes. It's terrific. Erin Friday joins the program. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. We're going to talk about a specific initiative that is being launched in California, and then also one of the most important issues in the country regarding our children, which is this trans issue. Joining us now is Erin Friday. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
You are an attorney and you are fighting against this kind of transification of the country. You also co-lead Our Duty and you're doing your best to get this ballot initiative up and going in California.
That's right. We have to start tackling the blue states.
I agree. So tell us your story. How did you get into this?
Well, my daughter came out as a transgender boy when she was just about to start ninth grade. This was over COVID. And that was an eye-opening experience to me because, quite frankly, I was a good little liberal and just read the New York Times and NPR, and I didn't even know that this transgender movement was underfoot. I didn't see it at our schools except for my daughter's comprehensive sex ed course, and that was in seventh grade, and that was the first kind of opening as to what is being taught to our kids at our schools. And I volunteered at the school. I mean, I'd like lived at the school, so I was just oblivious.
So, without getting too deep into the details, you learned of this how? Through the school, or did she come to you and say, "Hey, I'm a boy now," or?
Well, she did come to me and say, "I'm a boy," and I kind of brushed it off. I said, "That's silly." Okay. Like, not thinking much of this. I'm like, "You're not a boy."
And so then from there, what?
Then it got serious because I heard through her iPad, her public school was calling her a male name and using male pronouns, and that was all on her assignments. And the interesting thing is that my daughter had never stepped foot into that school. She was starting as a freshman. And so they went ahead and changed her name, pronouns, didn't so much as call me.
They never notified you?
Oh, no. And when I called them and read them the Riot Act, they told me that they needed to be the safe space for my child. And I, of course, asked them what safe meant. And they couldn't define it. But obviously, I was unsafe because I had CPS and the police at my door a few days later.
So the school called Child Protective Services.
That's correct.
Because you were upset at the school that they didn't call you, that your daughter is using different names.
Correct. Obviously, I was committing some kind of child abuse on my child by not accepting that she is now a boy and using a male name. Now, they did it under the guise of, my daughter was looking up how many monster drinks it takes to kill, you know, a 110-pound girl or person. And so that was their, you know, way to weave in. But I know it's because, you know, I really laid into them when they said that they were going to continue to call my daughter a male name and male pronouns. And they knew nothing of my child. They had never seen her. They couldn't answer one question when I asked them how tall she is. Is she fat, skinny? What color hair does she have? But they changed her name.
And did they view it like you as the parent or just they are, whose child is it, I guess is the question.
Obviously, it's their child. That's how they looked at it, is that I'm the ogre, I'm the bigot. And that was, you know, eye-opening to me. And I immediately pulled her from that public school.
Yes.
And, you know, the interesting thing is they never called to check in on my child to see how she's doing. They didn't care.
That's such an important point. So they take full the privilege over the child, yet no responsibility once the kid leaves. It's not a problem anymore. But I thought it was your child.
Yeah, I mean, it's so life-saving, right? To affirm a child, and then they just dropped her. I mean, this is the interesting thing. The schools are trying to stand in the shoes of parents, yet they're not there when the child is sick. They're not there.
Of course not.
On weekends, vacations.
Or answering the tough questions. So then how did that prompt you into this whole transgender craze?
Well, it was a long process because it took about a year and a half to get my daughter back to being comfortable in her female body. And it was a grueling year and a half. I mean, extremely painful. And I never wanted another parent to go through what we went through.
And so once you got through that process, you're an attorney. You're now trying to fight the entire trans machine.
That's right. And nobody was really doing it in California. And so I jumped in and I wrote a bunch of bills. I really didn't know what I was doing. And that's a good thing because no one could tell me I couldn't do what I was doing. And so then we moved forward with some bills and we couldn't even get a hearing for a parent notification bill, a hearing. We couldn't get a hearing just to involve parents when a child is gender questioning. So we went bigger.
So Aaron, you got into this fight because you got your daughter to a place where she was no longer questioning her identity. And I bet during that process, you learned all that you could about this.
Absolutely.
Because you seem to be a reader and a researcher.
I quit my law job and all I did was read.
Wow. Tell us about that. What did you read? Because this must have been just completely foreign and alien to you.
Well, I started with Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible yes. Damage, which luckily came out right when my daughter expressed
it's an excellent book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And then I joined every group. I went actually from the feminist groups. I joined Republican groups. I know I went everywhere because I wanted to know, like, who is fighting this? Because no one was fighting it really in California. We were alone. The parents are terribly alone on this. Because we're looked at as bigots and hateful. The doctors yes. are against us. The teachers are against us. The government is against us. And nobody was doing anything. And I'm waiting for the cavalry to come in. And that's us, the parents. We are the cavalry.
Yes.
And that's the role that I decided I had to take. As much as I don't like this position and I don't want to be doing this, this is what we have to do.
So you went on a researching spree. And you were just a stranger to this. What did you start to learn that all of a sudden just was shocking, eye-opening? Because you saw it in the micro with your daughter, and then you were researching the macro. Connect those dots for us.
Yeah, so I came out of the gate with not my kid. That was the initial, maybe somebody else's child, but not my kid. And then all I did was look at a graph that shows the 5,000% uptick of adolescents saying that they're trans. Nothing.
In the last 5 years or something,
yeah.
Right?
Nothing grows organically like that. I mean, it was just an automatic bells going off. And then I started to read the research of the younger children. So Ken Zucker, who's a Canadian sexologist, and none of this was making sense. There are no such thing as trans people.
That's correct. Yes. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, no one is born in the wrong body.
That's right.
It's not possible. You cannot change sex. These are people who have excruciating pain, and I have empathy. Even for the adults who are, you know, attack us, I have empathy for them because they look in the mirror and they hate what they see. They don't accept their natural bodies, and that is sad.
But it's a fixable mental condition, though.
It absolutely is. The number
treatable, I should say. That's a better word.
treatable, and the number of kids that desist, that means they come back to being comfortable in their natural bodies. No one ever talks about them, but there's thousands. Of course there are, because they grow up and they learn to accept themselves and love themselves in their natural state.
Well, your daughter is an example of that, I would imagine. And again, I don't want to make it too personal, but your daughter was able to overcome whatever social contagion that she was caught up in.
Absolutely.
And that alone is a piece of evidence. Absent you being the awesome mom you were, your daughter very well might have been put into the trans assembly line.
Oh, they tried to put her in the assembly line as much as they could.
What is the assembly line?
So the assembly line is puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, cutting off then healthy body parts. And they try their darndest. I mean, they teach these kids to run away from their loving parents. They teach them to emancipate.
Who is they?
Oh, well, you've got your school counselors who tell the kids how to run away. We have now a law in California that allows a 12-year-old and older to leave their family home with no claim of abuse or self-harm. Yep, it's called Assembly Bill 665. Our dear friend Scott Wiener, Senator Scott Wiener, was one of the authors on that.
He's a real dark person.
He's just absolute evil.
No, I agree with that.
And we have that bill. And so these kids at the age of 12 can leave their family's home, no claim of abuse, and go into a residential facility. And now in California, we're building them. They're called unicorn homes. We're building places for these. It's state-sanctioned kidnapping. That's where we are.
So why would anyone raise kids in California at this point?
That's a really good question. You can't do it in Washington State. Minnesota, New York, everything that we do in California gets passed on to the rest of the nation. And that's why the ballot initiative, it's not just a California ballot initiative. It's a nationwide ballot initiative.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set of $59.98, king-size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times. I want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for just $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Tell us the ballot initiative name and how people can help.
Okay. It is protectkidsca.com, and anyone can donate in the United States, and we need donations from everyone and anyone. Anyone who lives in the state of California can go to the website, download the petition.
Sign it. So say the website again, and what is it you're trying to get on the ballot?
Sure. So it's protectkidsca.com, and what this ballot initiative will do – it will stop all gender interventions on minors. No cross-sex hormones, no puberty blockers, no surgeries on children. The second thing that it will do is get all males out of girls' sports, bathrooms, changing rooms, overnight accommodations. It will also define the word female and male scientifically, biologically. And the third thing that it will do is prevent schools from lying and deceiving parents when their children are gender questioning. And what will prevent the schools from pushing the transgender identity forward with the kids. So they will not be allowed to give out binders or packers or change their name at school without involving the parents. So it's a huge undertaking.
And based on the documents that you gave me, if it's put on the ballot, there actually is majority support in California for every one of these things.
There absolutely is support. People think California's crazy, and yes, our legislature and our lawmakers are, but the average citizen is against all of this. We have polling that shows that 75% of Californians, regardless of whether they're Republicans, independents or Democrats, will vote to stop gender interventions on kids. The other polling shows 68 and 64% for the other attributes of the ballot. So the hardest part is to get it on the ballot, but once it's on there,
it has a life of its own.
That's correct.
So let's dive continuing into there. And everybody, studio, could we put it on the bottom? Because we have a lot of viewers too on live streaming California. We have to get a grassroots movement here. We got to get this on the ballot. One of the most important things in the country. This happens in red states too, in red municipalities and in red school districts. So let's zero in on the assembly line. Parents think that they're in touch with their kids, and they are a lot of times, but sometimes they'll get caught up on TikTok or they'll get some sort of a social phenomenon. Based on all of your involvement, all of your activism, walk us through kind of the typical story that you are here or that you encounter.
So the typical story differs by sex. Because
that's right.
It does.
Yeah, the young boys tend to be almost always either autistic or have some sort of thing. Young ladies, a lot of it's puberty anxiety, but most of the minor transitions, quote unquote, which you can't transition, is female. Is that correct?
It's about 75% okay. Female. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because girls take on the social contagion. We know this with cutting, with anorexia, with bulimia.
It's a great point.
All of the large you know, social contagions always started with girls, and then it migrates over to boys. And so that's where we are now, where it's starting to migrate over to boys. And girls are doing this for you know, very particular reasons. So there's a lot of DEI. I know you talk about this.
Yes.
And these girls are feeling shameful for being, quote unquote, the oppressor. And so they want to jump into a marginalized community, or they want to be the oppressed. And so they will take on an LGBT identity so that they don't feel guilty. So there's that aspect of it. There's also a lot of these girls are exposed to really horrible pornography because, you know, porn is in their pocket and it's available everywhere. And these girls are watching these images and they don't want to be that woman in that video. They want to hop out and not be that person. So there's that aspect of it. And then the other girls that it goes after are the quirky, artsy, you know, not the most popular girls in class. And it you know,
they're sometimes on the spectrum. So there is a according to Dr. Miriam Grossman, there's a correlation.
There absolutely is. There is no child who takes on a transgender identity that doesn't have another comorbid mental health issue. Not a one.
Can you repeat that? I've never heard anyone say that.
There is not one child who takes on a transgender identity that does not have an underlying mental health issue. Not one. They have OCD, autism,
anxiety, depression, bipolar schizophrenia.
Exactly. They all have something. And when they go into that doctor's office and they say that they're trans, the doctors then ignore all those other mental health issues. And we know this because we talk to the detransitioners and they all have a myriad of mental health issues.
Yeah. And Chloe Cole is a perfect example of that. She said, I was on the spectrum and I was taken advantage of. I don't know if you spent time with Chloe Cole.
Absolutely.
And she's an outspoken detransitioner. So they walk into – so we will play that tape of Chloe Cole, but I want to really zero in on this because this is – by the way, the audience is just going crazy. They're loving this, which is – so you say the doctors are against us. Can you explain?
Oh, absolutely. Every doctor told me to transition my child.
Every doctor?
Everyone.
How many? 3, 4, 5?
I think I talked to around 6.
That's extraordinary.
Yes.
And these are pediatric doctors or –
Some were therapists, some were psychiatrists. Our pediatrician who knew my daughter since she was 2 years old just changed her name in the records. And I just learned like a few weeks ago that she put a diagnosis of gender dysphoria in my daughter's chart. She never diagnosed my daughter. She spent 15 minutes with her because I'll tell you one thing, parents, do not take your kids to a pediatrician or you stay in that room the entire time and don't fill out any of those questionnaires where they ask,
what will the pediatrician do?
The pediatrician will plant the seed in these children's head that you can change sex and that you could be a different gender. There are sheets now where they fill it out. What is your sexual orientation? What is your gender identity? Do not answer any of those questions. That is none of their business.
But parents think pediatricians are there for their kids' health and wellness.
Sorry, I'm going to dish on them.
Oh, no, you're in the right place.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are pediatricians out there who know what they're doing is wrong, and they're staying silent, and they are complicit, and they are cowards. I have no empathy for them.
I totally agree.
And then there are pediatricians who just look at you, they change the name of your child and say, go to the gender clinic. They have no idea that once you take your child to the gender clinic, they are on the conveyor belt.
The assembly line.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is game
so,
over.
So let me ask you, Erin, you're the pediatrician who knew your daughter since she was two. She spent 15 minutes with her on this topic?
Yes.
And there was a diagnosis administered in 15 minutes?
Correct. Correct. And I didn't even know about it because I'm not given her chart because she was 13 at the time. I don't have.
Is that a California thing or a national thing?
It's in many, many states.
That parents don't get kids' charts when they're 13?
It starts at 12. I know you're a new father. Beware of this. Yeah, you don't have
access.
That's
a state-by-state law?
Correct.
You can't get access to it? Or
your child has to give you permission.
Who came up with that insane idea?
Our legislators. Because remember, parents are terrible. I mean, the way our country is moving is that once a child is 12, parents lose all rights for their kids. That's where we're moving.
So six doctors said your precious daughter should just go mutilate herself.
Yes. And one.
I'm oversimplifying.
Yeah, no, you're right. And one actually told me when I went through my daughter's history, because my daughter was extremely girly. Like,
yes, that, which does not make her necessarily predisposed for this.
No, it doesn't at all. But I asked her, I said, well, what about her past? Oh, she was just waiting to come out. I mean, the absurdity of that. Wait, so she was girly like up until the age 12 so that she could come out later as trans? I mean, it's the nonsensical.
Well, so Erin, you're a lawyer and all this, and you'll appreciate my line of questioning. You're saying that the entire medical industry is captured not for the well-being of children, but for a non-scientific, non-data-based ideology.
Absolutely correct. And the AAP came out with their policy in 2018, pushing transgenderism. And where were all the pediatricians fighting against that? 18 people wrote this policy. And as a lawyer, I read it. First of all, it has no basis in science, and it uses words like may, might, could. These are buzzwords for we don't know. It's a giant experiment.
And it's a catastrophic one. And here you are, you're a pediatrician. You take an oath to protect children, and they just haphazardly say, go get hormones, go get puberty blockers, go irreversibly castrate yourself. I can't comprehend. And other countries like Britain have outlawed puberty blockers now. And interestingly enough, in Dr. Miriam Grossman's book, Lost in Transnation, she talks about how London actually has one of the largest gender reassignment clinics, and they give puberty blockers. That clinic is now getting shut down by NHS. So other countries are rejecting this, but we're embracing it in this country.
Sweden, Finland, Norway, France are all stopping this barbarism.
And we're not.
We're not. And we're pushing it forward.
Our president is pushing it. Joe Biden and Levine says that you're a bad person if you don't allow trans youth to get chemical castration pills.
President Biden said it was close to a sin not to do it. He used that word, sin.
It's a perfect quote to use on Good Friday. He's saying that you might be sinning if you don't give a child puberty blockers.
That was the moment where I said, I will never vote for a Democrat again. I've been a Democrat since I was 18 years old. My party is not my party anymore. They want to harm children and say that you must do this. And they are taking our children from loving parents.
Yes. Yes, they are. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Someone emailed us, Arizona, 13 to 18, not accessible to parents. Only, I guess the kid could sign over the records, right? Or
that's right. And so as a parent, you need to get that set up.
Yeah, you need to kind of persuade them, hey, just sign this, you know.
That's right. I mean, it's so insane that when my son was getting tested for mono, they wouldn't give me the results of it.
For mononucleosis.
That's correct. He was about to get on the lacrosse field, which is really dangerous.
Yeah, obviously.
And they wouldn't give me his records, even though I took him in to get the blood test.
This is a broader project of the left. They want to destroy parental rights, strong families, but any sort of distinction between the parent and child. They don't want that distinction to exist anymore.
That's correct.
The ballot initiative is ongoing. You also have a lot of events that you're doing in California, right? You have how many detransitioners are there in the country?
You know, I can't really estimate that, but, you know, I shared with some numbers with you, just like watching D-Trans Reddit.
Yes, there's like 35,000, yeah.
Well, it's at 50.
Oh, is it at 50 now?
Yeah, it grows about 20,000, 25,000 now a year. So as we transition more people, we get more detransitioners, and nobody's tracking that.
So, Aaron, one thing that our audience, not our audience, but some people would have difficulty, you know, internalizing is that the wonderful, pristine American medical establishment is not there for our well-being on this topic.
It's not just the AAP. The AAP is completely captured.
The American Association of Pediatrics?
That's correct. And so we have the Pediatric Endocrine Society also is captured.
Oh, the endocrinologists are out of control.
Yeah.
They're never send your child to an endocrinologist.
So this is how they did it. It's only really a handful of people that took on leadership positions and poisoned these societies, and everyone got scared and refused to speak up. And I can't say that all pediatricians, because Julia Mason is a good friend of mine and she spoke up.
There are outliers.
Yeah, but look, the numbers are there. More people are against this than are for this.
Yes.
And they just need to have the courage. We cannot topple this without people speaking up, and doctors know that it's wrong. When a surgeon is removing a 13-year-old girl's healthy breasts, he knows or she knows that this is wrong and says nothing and just assumes that all the mental health, process occurred with this child. And that assumption is wrong.
I mean, these surgeons should go to jail. I mean, I hate to be like to jump to conclusions, but you're putting a kid under general anesthesia. And you as a surgeon have a moral right, like, why are we doing this? Like, you do a pre-operating consultation, right? You're sitting down with this poor 13-year-old who's sitting on, you know, a table with his parents, probably terrified that they have to go under. And you know, oh, what's the reason? Oh, because some psychologist says that the breasts are making you feel uncomfortable. Like a surgeon should be like, yeah, I'm not gonna cut you open. Like that's unbelievable. You didn't get in a car wreck, okay? Meaning we don't have to like do plastic surgery to fix you for whatever reason. How can these surgeons live with themselves?
It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. I want to tell you a story about what happened in Sacramento, because Sacramento became a trans sanctuary state 2 days ago or 3 days
City,
ago.
Yeah.
And a woman got up and she was testifying for the trans sanctuary. And she said, 10 days ago, I had my breasts removed. And everyone clapped. Like, this is an insane world. They're clapping, celebrating that a young woman removed healthy body parts. Like, we have lost our minds.
And if you dare question it, they'll try to destroy your life.
Yes, but don't be afraid of that.
So
just don't be afraid of that.
I mean, tell us why. I mean, you're in your own description, former liberal, former New York Times, got thrown into this. You never planned it, but you're not afraid of them. You fight, but a lot of people are afraid of this machine, this trans machine.
I'm going to tell everyone a secret. They're more afraid of us than we are of them. So we need to get loud. We have 24 states now that have banned gender interventions on children.
Yes.
And this is growing. They know their time is limited. These kids are commodities. They are money-making machines, and they're trying to squeeze out every dollar before it ends. They know it's going to come crashing down, and this is why we need to get louder and louder and bolder. Nothing has happened to me. I used to have a fake name. Actually, Charlie, my fake name was Charlie.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I was afraid. And then I came out in my real name, and boy, what an unburdened. I was so unburdened to just be me. Nothing has happened to me. Yes, people say horrible things about me, but I don't really care. Name calling doesn't hurt.
Is it as cynical as they just want to make money, or is there something else at play here?
There's a multiple reasons why this is happening. So we've got the money aspect, which is pretty easy to understand. And it's not just the surgeons. The money comes from the government too, and it's from all these NGOs coming into schools and teaching this garbage.
Yes.
So everybody's making money off of kids. And then there's the sexual depravity, and the WPATH files showed that.
Correct.
Very clearly of the depravity going on here and the fetish aspect of all of this. And then you have, you know, I know you've friends with James Lindsay. You have the Marxist.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is. The Marxist movement, and you have the breakup of the family, and then you have the destruction of democracy. So there's all these facets that is underlying transgenderism. That's why it's very difficult to take it down, but we can. But yeah, there's a myriad of reasons why they're doing this. And then there's pedophilia. I mean, we have to talk about the pedophilia. You put cross-sex hormones, testosterone, into a young girl's body, and you're going to change her sexuality. You're going to make her hypersexual, because girls don't have that amount of testosterone in their bodies.
So what happens then?
Well, what do you think happens?
They become aggressive and promiscuous.
That's correct. And also, by taking the kids from parents, remember the state-sanctioned kidnapping, this opens up the door for sex traffickers, because these kids are now being housed in residential facilities. So it's a whole big cabal to take these kids.
So you think that pedophiles are pushing this because they want to get closer to young kids?
Absolutely. Why do grown men want to be in young girls' bathrooms? Because they're sick. This is a way to justify this. And once we have kids making decisions at the age of 12 for their health, we're going to have kids. They're going to have laws that are going to allow 12-year-olds to make.
Okay. I want to try to do this the best we can in about 6 or 7 minutes. So can you just complete that point? Because you're going through all the elements, the pedophilia, the profit motive, there's also a transhumanist element of people that want to try to take dominion over how you are built or, I believe, created, and you can kind of customize yourself in your own liking.
You're absolutely correct. And the WPATH files showed that, right? They're creating bodies that have both sets of genitals, and normalizing this. Like, this is, you know, we're made of Legos. And we're no longer human. They're trying to put uteruses into men's bodies. They use this chemical concoction to make men express some sort of liquid so that they can nurse a child. This is barbaric. Nobody talks about the effect on the baby. We have a bill in California. I call it the buy yourself a baby or get yourself a baby, where anyone can get a surrogate and get themselves a child. I mean, talk about open season on pedophilia. It's horrible where we're going.
your effort is to try to combine forces, get this on the ballot. If there is one thing you wish every American parent knew about this, what would that be?
First, I tell every American parent, do not send your child to a public school.
Period. No exception.
No exception. Homeschool them if you can. Send them to private school, but check out that private school because the private schools in California are also captured, including, shockingly, Catholic schools.
That's right. They're some of the worst. Yeah.
And also, do not give them that phone. It's hard. But the internet is the other avenue that these kids are taking on this transgender identity. They are getting lauded and love bombed on the internet. And you cannot parent against a million other people. So that was my mistake.
Were you giving your daughter the phone?
Absolutely.
And so those are your two things. No public school, no phone. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And I'll add a third. You have to get to your child first. Talk to your child as soon as they are four and tell them how great it is to be a boy or a girl and that they can never change sex. And that if a teacher ever tells them to keep a secret from them, you come right to mommy and daddy. And
just like someone's trying to kidnap you. Like I was trained when you're young. Someone tries with a car, you run the other way. You do that. You know, like that's how we need to train kids actively to basically scream and run if a groomer tries to trans them.
That's correct. I know a mother who told her son to walk out of the classroom every time they mentioned the word transgender, and the kid walks out of the classroom.
That's the sort of like conditioning that we need to prepare them for, because they are coming after our children.
They are absolutely coming after our children.
Final question here. How widespread is this? Because that's people say, oh, this is just on the fringe. It's not that big of a deal.
It's not fringe at all. I mean, we're looking at numbers of 20% of kids saying that they're somewhere on the LGBTQ spectrum, and it just continues to grow. The onslaught continues. They are reading these transgender books to children at the age of four when they are so malleable. It is in our cartoons. It's on our TVs. It's in our movies. We even have buses in my neighborhood that are wrapped in the trans flag. It is everywhere. And so it is a monumental task for a parent to keep their child safe. And if you think that you can run away to a red state, you're mistaken. You're still not safe in a red state.
Not at all. Website one last time. And any final thoughts, Erin?
ProtectKidsCA.com. You can donate today. We do need everyone working towards this. If we topple California, the rest of the nation will follow. California is where transgenderism began and where it needs to end. So even if you are in Florida, please donate to protectkidsca.com. Get your signatures in today. We have to show the nation that California wants to protect their children.
Amen. Erin, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.